Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Maulavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly lives of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, personalities, ulama and scholars during the history of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the fuqaha of the 13th century Hijra, one of the most outstanding students of Muhammad Hassan al-Najafi and Sheikh al-Ansari, Mirza Habibullah Rashdi. He was famous for nurturing so many outstanding students of the houses of Najaf and Iraq. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life of Mirza Habibullah Rashdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. About Mirza Habibullah Rashdi's biography, what we can mention here is that his father was Mirza Muhammad Ali Khan, son of Jahangir Khan Qochani Gilani, one of the most famous Shia scholars in his time. So his ancestors were originally from Qochan, who were forced to move to Gilan in early 7th, let's say, century. And he was born in 1234, and of course in a village of in one of the villages of Gilan, is which is a province in northern part of nowadays Iran.
Yes,
and he passed away in Jumad al-Thani in 1312, and of course then in Najaf al-Ashraf, and was buried in one of the rooms around the courtyard of the holy shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam.
That's right. Sheikh Fadai, now the major question is that so many of the outstanding scholars of Islam, especially the Shiite ulama and fuqaha, left their hometown in order to migrate to another country, Iraq, on that time, especially the cities of Najaf, Samarra, and Karbala, in order to attend the courses of outstanding scholars over there. It seems to be a very hard travel and difficult travel, especially on that time, without facilities. What motivations do you think they had to do so?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We can say that the main difference between religious knowledge and non-religious knowledge is that in religious knowledge, the scholar feel a very deep responsibility.
Yes.
But usually in non-religious knowledge, people and the scientists think about themselves more than the others. Of course, they benefit other people as well. But the main focus is on themselves in order to improve, in order to gain some wealth, to have a good life, and beside that, to help some people as well. But when people enter the sphere of religious knowledge, they think about other people more than themselves.
Yes.
When you feel this deep responsibility, we can say that you pass from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can tolerate every difficulties.
Yes.
Our scholars were like that.
Mm-hmm.
When they felt this responsibility that we, as the scholars of religion, have to teach this religion and
yes,
preach this religion, so we have to tolerate a lot of difficulties. One of the difficulties was that migration. As you mentioned, this migration was not easy. At that time, for example, moving from Rasht or Gilan, as we call it, the province, Iranian province, to other country like Iraq, by, I don't know, horse and camels, and even
on feet, sometimes
on feet, usually with their families, with their wives, with their children, and among a lot of diseases, among a lot of thieves in the ways. You know, they had to pay a lot. They had to spend a lot of time. Maybe these migration spent for 6 months or 1 year to go to
They were on the way to go to Najaf or Karbala. That's
But, you know, now we just read in the books that they migrated from this country to that country. That's it. But it is not like that. They, I want to say that they felt the responsibility. Because of that, they did that. For example, if you check the teachers and the students of these great scholars, Mirza Habibullah Rashti, you can see that this chain of scholars, these are the famous ones that even now in our Hoza, we are benefiting from them. We are using from their knowledge. What is the common point? The common point is that responsibility.
That's right.
From professor and teacher to the students, again from that students as a teacher to his student, they transfer this responsibility. For example, Muhammad Hassan Najafi, nowadays in Hoza we call it Sahib Jawahir. And Sheikh Ansari.
They were the teachers of
The authors of Rasail and Makasib. You know, Jawahir, Rasail and Makasib are the main books, textbooks in Hausa. These are his professors and teachers. And then about his student, Sayyid Muhammad Kazim Yazdi, we know it as Sahib Urve, Aghaziya Araghi, Mirza Naini. You know, this is a chain. They are the, I can say, the scholars that felt that responsibility and tolerated all the difficulties in order to transfer that legacy of religion to us. And nowadays, we are using that legacy because of their hard working.
That's right.
That.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, when we look at their personal, individual life, we can find them very much humble. The people who never were after reputation or something. For example, they say that Mirza Habibullah Rashti was among the best students of Sheikh Al-Ansari, but after the demise of the Sheikh, he never accepted the position of Marja'iyah or Za'ama, as better say, custodianship and guardianship of the houses, and referred the people to Mirza Shirazi on that time. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of the religious personal life, Sheikh.
Yes, about the, let's say, moral characteristics of these great scholar, there are many points that could be mentioned. One of these that is that his special moral characteristic made him a very pious kind of personality.
Yes.
Who was famous for his asceticism.
Yes.
He always remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seized any opportunities to recite the Holy Quran or prayers and supplications. And he was so careful and cautious that he could not easily answer the questions that he was asked without complete research. And he was so respectful toward Mirza Shirazi that he encouraged people to ask their question from him and to be his followers, muqallid, not muqallid of his own self, muqallid of this Sayyid. Mirza Shirazi, I mean. Although he was the top student of Sheikh Al-Ansari, but of course, as you rightly mentioned, after his demise, he did not take, let's say, Shari'i funds, I mean, khums or wujuhat, and never actually showed the slightest desire to become marja taqlid, even when his student insisted on his becoming a marja, but yes. He actually directed them towards Mirza-i Shirazi.
You mean he was the marja, but he was not accepting the official position of the custodianship of the Hawza on that time.
Yeah, of course. Yes. There were lots of these kind of scholars, even Shaykh Sayyid ibn Tawus, rahmatullah alayhi, was also the same, that he did not answer the fiqhi questions.
Yes.
He also tried in his life not to interfere to any kind of fiqhi or jurisprudential kind of issues.
That's right.
Because not becoming a marja'i taqlid. The same case is with this great scholar.
That's right.
This is the moral kind of characteristics of many of the Shiite scholars that could give us lots of lessons, mm-hmm. particularly the students of Hawza and the ulama of this modern time.
That's right.
Of the Shayu, yes.
And one of the interesting points about the life of Mirza Haybullah Rashti is compiling a kind of book typically known as Hashiya, or the marginal notes or explanations to great books of his masters, Sheikh Al-Ansari and Muhammad Hassan Al-Najafi. Bada'u Al-Afkar, which is a Hashiya on Najatul Abad of Sahib Al-Jawahir, is one of them. So what was the need to write such explanations or marginal notes to great books of the teachers, Sheikh Fadai?
You know, in the system of Hausa, it was like that you go to the classes of a professor,
mm-hmm.
you use from him, but you never stop. You don't want to just imitate what he said. You don't want to just stay at that level.
Yes.
They always try to improve the borders of knowledge.
Yes.
You know, Hashiya or marginal notes has two aspects. The first aspect is to explain what the teacher said.
Okay.
Why? For example, we say that he was one of the top students of Sheikh Al-Ansari or Muhammad Hassan Najafi. So he could understand what his teacher, Sheikh Ansari, said better than us, and even better than the other students at that time.
Okay.
First of all, he wanted, and not just he, Habibullah Rashti, as I told you, in the system of Hawza, it was like that, and even now it is like that. First of all, they want to explain what the professor said at the class.
Yes.
In order to stop and prevent misunderstanding from the lessons of the professor. The other aspect is to improve the border of knowledge. Maybe after reaching the level of ijtihad, especially after this level, maybe the student doesn't accept some of the ideas and theories of the teacher.
Uh-huh.
So they never like that to copy all the theories of the teacher.
Okay.
For example, in our Hawza, we have Ayatollah Jawadi as one of the great professors, the students of Allama Tabatabai.
Yes.
You know, people who don't know about these two great scholars think that so Ayatollah Jawadi is his students of Allama Tabatabai and he copied all the theories of Allama Tabatabai.
Yes.
But if you go to his lessons, for example, what I did,
yes.
When you go to his lessons for several years, you can understand that he has various different ideas.
Uh-huh.
So marginal notes, one of the aspects of marginal notes is
that. Or it's better to say he adds some new perspectives to the old, for example,
as I said, improving materials. The borders of knowledge.
Yes.
A good student never main a copier.
Yes.
Never main an imitator.
Yes, yes.
This is the science.
Yes.
And it is interesting that we can see in the history that in the age of 25, he reached the level of ijtihad. You know, ijtihad is not something easy.
Yes.
If we want to compare with the degrees of our knowledges in universities nowadays, at least ijtihad is a combination of 10 doctorates.
Yes.
At least.
Okay.
In the, ilm of fiqh, usul, rijal, diraye, I don't know, philosophy, and in ilm al-hadith, a lot of different. He should be a master at least in 10 field of studies. In which age? In the age of 25.
Yes.
You know, our scholars were genius once.
Yes.
And why? Because they tried a lot.
Yes.
You know, they never thought about, I don't know, how much income I have. And nowadays in Jose University, if we want to study, the first of all, we think about income. Mm-hmm. If we want to study, how much can I get? If I cannot have a good life,
yes,
I would leave these studies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our legacy of Hosea was not like that.
Yes. Okay. That's right. Thank you very much. Sheikh Rouhani, anything missed?
Not actually. The points mentioned regarding these great scholars. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for a nice elaboration regarding the life of Mirza Habibullah Rashdi. He passed away on Jamadil Sani 14th. It was Thursday, 13-12, in the city of Najaf at the age of 78. His body was taken into one of the we can say chambers or rooms around the holy tomb of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he was buried in the holy courtyard of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the city of Najaf. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man. May Allah protect the following generations of the scholars who still are busy with nurturing students all across the Islamic houses around the world. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Muallim.